This sermon is preached on the sixth Sunday of Easter 2020, the 17th of May, in St. Paul's Church in Athens. The readings are Acts 17, verses 22 to 31, and John 14, 15 to 21. We have our first service in St. Paul's since we closed in the middle of March 2020. Because of the COVID-19 virus. We're not back to normal, but glory be to God, doxa to Theo, we are back in the church. We must now ask ourselves seriously if the normal we had is the normal to which we can sensibly return. Maybe humanity will need some metanoia, repentance, which means infinitely more than saying sorry. It involves a total 360-degree assessment of life and practice. In the world, yes, but in the life of the church also, which is so easily seduced into supporting worldly normalcy without challenge and critique. It's July 2019. I'm standing in Adrianou, the street in Athens, with the Roman Agora behind me. Well, not everything that is modern is bad. And I'm walking in the direction of Theseo. Some African guys are harassing passers-by, especially young female tourists, to buy their bangles and beads. They are slightly suggestive toward them. This is Plaka, so not surprisingly, I am then met by shops and little street stalls selling everything tourists seem to want, from necklaces that spell your name in Greek to key rings in the shape of something you certainly wouldn't take home to your grandparents as a holiday souvenir. There are restaurants galore, all setting out before me the very best of Greek tourist menus, with a designated staff member whose job it is to entice me to check the menu and choose this restaurant over all the others. Oddly, it is the ones with rather attractive young female staff that are the busiest. I'm wondering if there is a marketing strategy here. All along my right-hand side, there is a catena, a chain of bars and tavernas and bistros. I look to my left towards the Acropolis soaring majestically above me. What do I see there? Well, first of all, there is the Line 1 metro, which runs from Kyphysia to Piraeus. It cuts right through the edge of the ancient site. It is the first and the eldest of the metro lines. The rolling stock is old and tinny and covered with graffiti. Oh, sorry, political art, as I have to call it. Next, the wall that separates the railway line from the original Greek Agora, the ancient marketplace of classical Athens. Where I'm standing is a major tourist viewpoint. The wall facing me is one vast marble canvas of metropolitan art. Yes, it's the graffiti again, sprayed on the wall to support every type of cultural, political, and anarchist ideology. Next is the Agora itself, with its peaceful atmosphere, except when that old train goes past, with the American school reconstruction of a classical stoa to elicit from us something of that image of ancient Greek philosophers and sophists gathering to discuss the meaning of life, Epicureans, the transmigration of the soul, Platonists, and Pythagoreans, and every imaginable ancient school of thought. Rising up beyond it stands the magnificent and impressive Acropolis, with its Parthenon, first built as a temple to the virgin goddess Athena, in later centuries becoming a holy temple for Byzantine worship to the Panagia, the Mother of God. In Ottoman times it was used to store ammunition. It was because of this that an explosion created the ruin that we now see. I often wonder what the poor Ottoman guardsmen thought when he accidentally threw down his cigarette butt. Oops. Papa, if he had a bit of Greek. Between where I'm standing and the Acropolis, there's a rather insignificant small hill. It's crawling with people who look the size of little ants, but it's busy. It is, of course, the Areopagus Hill, where once stood the building where the Athenian Council will meet. It is here that St. Paul spoke to the men of Athens in his famous speech. I see you are a religious people. I saw a tomb to the unknown God. Let me tell you about him. It was a long time ago and much has changed. However, much has not. Man is still polytheistic, and he sets up shrines to his own gods. Standing there in Adrianu, I have witnessed some of these modern-day deities. Travel, commercialism, globalization, pollution, destruction, tourist consumerism. I'm not a killjoy, not by any means. But we do worship what we tend to take for granted, what we assume is normal. We don't usually seek to worship what challenges us, what makes us look face to face with ourselves, and what we are doing to God's creation. So as I look towards this rather barren little hill, with little ants crawling over it, I'm drawn to think that St. Paul's message to the Athenians, now universally available through the writing of St. Luke in his Acts of the Apostles, is as relevant now as it has ever been. Generally speaking, we have everything we could wish. The last few weeks, though, may have deeply rocked many of these assumptions. Yet, deep down, individuals and societies know that although we have so much, something is missing. Something missing that keeps us truly anchored to ourselves, our identity, and something missing that keeps us authentically united with a world that we all know we are slowly strangling. In a beautiful little monograph, Metropolitan Callistos Ware synthesizes this. We may regard man as an animal that weeps and laughs, or with the Stoics, as a logical or rational animal, logikon zoon, or with Aristotle, as a political animal, politikon zoon. But we come closer to the heart of the matter if we think of man as a Eucharistic or priestly animal endowed with the vocation of offering the world back to God in a continuing act of joyful doxology. What a full and fulfilling vision this is for mankind. Could it be that this is what is generally missing for us in our generation? Is this the unknown God we need to hear about for the first time, or again and again? So, like St. Paul, I refer you to Jesus, the Jesus who for St. Paul has become the very cornerstone of his life. This Jesus was born in Bethlehem, lived in Nazareth, died on a cross in Jerusalem, but who is also co-eternal with God, our Father, the one we call the Alpha and the Omega. His words are the words of eternal life. He is the source and the being of the Father's love for each and every one of us. Jesus says, I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. This is good reason to rejoice in that joyful doxology, for St. Paul to rejoice, for you and me to rejoice, for the church to rejoice, for all creation to rejoice and sing out in praise of its Creator. In the words of Paul, in Him we live and move and have our being. It's July 2019. Adrianu is packed solid with people. I look towards the Areopagus with its little human ants crawling all over it. And I am reminded of Paul's message, the good news of Jesus. Amen.